Now, from spiders that eat insects to insects themselves, humans and other mammals collect sounds using their eardrums, which vibrate, and these vibrations are transferred through three tiny bones called ossicles to a structure in the inner ear, which is called the cochlea, and this converts sound waves, quite literally, into brain waves. But it turns out that insects might be able to teach us a thing or two about sensing sounds and even show us how to build super small microphones and hearing aids. And this is the brainchild of Professor Daniel Robert, who's a researcher at the University of Bristol and joins us down the line. Right, tell us first of all, how do insects hear, and how does it differ from how we hear?
Well, insects hear through tiny little organs, tiny little ears that also have eardrums that are structured a bit differently. What's interesting about insects is their diversity. Ears virtually everywhere on their body, from the wings of some butterflies, the chest of some flies, and the legs even of some crickets.
And when you say you can find little ears there, if you look at those hearing organs, how do they differ from my ears?
First of all, they're much smaller. The cochlea you have is roughly a centimeter across. These ears are down to half a millimeter or even smaller sometimes. Now, they're also structured very differently. Even though they do the same job, for those of the crickets, for instance, their ears are structured in a way that we couldn't imagine before.
Now, we talked about these three tiny bones, the ossicles, hammer, anvil, and the stirrup in a human. Do insects have tiny bones as well?
For us, in order to convert the acoustic wave that is in the air and push that energy into the cochlea, we require that amplification that the middle ear bones are generating. Some sort of a clever three-part leverage system, which is quite complicated. In insects, we don't find that. In these particular crickets, what we find is a simple lever system that does that amplification, but in a much, much simpler way anatomically. So, and that's kind of an exception, and we were pretty excited to find that because that gives us a particular solution to the same problem of amplification, but with a much simpler system.
When you say a lever system, this would be a bit like jacking up a car. You put one thing under the car wheel and then have a very long handle, and you're basically making the job much easier to do by having a very long handle. The insects are turning these low energy sound waves into vibrations in their hearing organ by having this similar sort of lever system.
Exactly, that's a good description, because with a very small force at one end of the lever, you generate a very large force at the other end. But a large force has a long displacement, if you want, and the other side has a short displacement. But no matter what, your car is going to be lifted. The same principle applies to shifting these vibrations into the inner ear of the insect. And that works for an awful lot of frequencies, which is the beauty about it. You can have lower frequencies and higher frequencies. So there we learn a lot about how these systems, having evolved for 200 million years, can be very efficient at capturing sound in a way that we never imagined before.
So your goal would be to take the structure of what a grasshopper uses to pick up sound waves and convert them into nerve signals and copy that so that you could instead have, for instance, a tiny microphone.
Exactly, exactly. We want to be inspired by the process that evolution has come up with. And maybe more excitingly even is to borrow one process from a grasshopper, another process from a fly, another from a butterfly, and make some sort of a chimera, a mix between these different processes that are good at different things, detecting the direction of sound, detecting a nice amplitude, being very sensitive, or, as we said before, being able to push that to some form of cochlea to do an analysis of the different pitch of the sound. So with that, we can generate tiny microphones, we hope, that will emulate what we've learned from the tiny ears of insects.
Why do you think insects have evolved to use this system and we evolved another system that, what you're saying, is turns out to be less good than what the insects have got?
What we know about insects is that they have under their skin, just about everywhere, mechanoreceptors. That means the little cells, the little neurons that are sensitive to tiny vibrations. So what insects have as an advantage, having the skeleton outside, as opposed to us, is that they can just thin a bit of their skin over here, make a little lever over there. They're very modular, and they're very flexible in their anatomy. We know the diversity. So as a result, what we observe today is a series of different solutions to the same kind of, if you want, engineering problem, which is the detection of sound. So our ears are deep down into our skull, and they are embedded in a vast amount of fluid. For insects, this is not the case. They're much smaller and much lighter, which allows them to be much more sensitive and accurate.
But given how tiny they are, this means that they will respond very well to high-frequency sounds, I would presume. But does that mean that were you to make a microphone modelling or based on the insect structure, it would have a problem detecting lower frequency, bigger wavelength sound waves?
The insects are very happy to listen to high frequencies up to 150 kilohertz, reminding you that we stop at 15 or 20 kilohertz as humans. So insects are very good, it's particular crickets, at measuring the sounds that come from bats. So what we do there is extract the knowledge, if you want, and then push this data into a mathematical model in a computer. And then we start another process of optimization where we ask basically that system we have by modifying ever so slightly some bits of the system, like the eardrum, to respond to lower frequencies. We're trying to adapt that to lower frequencies to make that compatible with human voice, human hearing, response to sound.
And how do you build a plastic model of an insect ear?
Well, for this, we use new tools that have been available now for a little while that come from nanotechnology. Some very fancy 3D printers that can print very tiny structures. So we use that, scale it up a little bit, and build little organs that are half a millimeter or a millimeter across that emulate the shape and the form of these insect ears. And then we do the same test again as we did with the true insect.
And if you are successful and you can produce these miniature microphones, what application will you have for them, and why will they be better than what we currently have?
Our hope here is to be able to borrow the best of different species, make a microphone that will work a little bit like a cricket ear, and then incorporate what a fly is doing with sound for directionality, and then at the end perhaps have a microphone or two or three or perhaps 10 in one package and put it in a hearing aid to be able to do what we call auditory scene analysis. A microphone that would be clever enough, intelligent enough in the biomimetic sense to detect sounds that perhaps normal microphones with just one membrane are not able to detect. So we're getting there, we're not quite there yet, but we think that we have here a solution inspired by nature that could be useful for auditory processes indeed.
Terrific stuff, and I wish you luck. That's bio-nanoscientist Daniel Robert. He's at the University of Bristol, where he's making these teeny tiny microphones. We will listen out for the announcement that he's been successful. Thank you, Daniel.